Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI. WEEI.
2-2, bottom nine. Chapman is ready at the letters. He throws. Swinging a shot into left field, and the White Sox are going to win the game. Rounding third is Robert. He will score. Andrew Vaughn has won the series for the White Sox. The final today is 3-2. The Red Sox nightmare on the south side of Chicago continues.
The nightmare it is. What's up? It's KJ. It's Sunday morning. And the funny thing is, being here this early on a Sunday, I kind of get away with some bad habits that I usually not try to have in this industry, like showing up in the building like 20 minutes before the show. Usually it's like an hour or so before. So we'll have fun. It's going to be a quick hour, a short hour. But I got to start with the Red Sox, who, let's just put it this way, we're feeling some kind of way. You've got two sides of people, right? One side is saying, you know, it's only April. And I'm leaning that side, right? It's only April. Can we really lose our minds about this just yet? I would say no. Is there a concern that lingers? Oh, absolutely. And so I introduce to those who've never heard my patented and trademarked term of 27 games at a time. You're like, KJ, what is 27 games at a time? Like, it's how you consume the season. You really can divide it by six, and that would give you, watch this, 26 games at a time, 27 games at a time. So every 27 games is when I really do the assessment of what could potentially be going on. You ready to follow David Azar? Thank you so much for being here. You ready to follow this?
I'm ready.
All right, you've never heard of this 27 games at a time theory, right? Bradfo laughed at it until it became very true when I invented it back in 2021. So you would say the goal number for any team to try and get themselves in the playoffs is 90 games. If you can get 90 wins, there probably is going to be a conversation of whether you're in a bad division and you win division, or you're a higher wild card. Last few years, we've seen that, you know, like you've got to get to about 88 to try and be in the conversation the last couple of days. And a lot of it is because, you know, Texas is really good. Houston's really good. Seattle has always tried to figure some things out. Then, of course, you've got the Red Sox, the Orioles, the Yankees, right? So, and then of course, you've also got the ALC winner, right? So last year, what kind of threw everything off was like, wow, the Central had, you know, more winning teams than you thought. Someone you thought they would be a one and done. So here's how it breaks down, right? The Sox need to go 15-12 about every frame to get to this 27 game at a time theory and you win 90 games. So you're like, okay, in the first frame, can they get to 15-12? At 7-9, I ask you, do you see 8-3 in this team? Do you see 8-3 over the next 11? This is how I take my barometer of where the team is, because it allows for flexibility. So, KJ, how do you know this bullcrap theory of yours has worked? So if you remember in 2021, where everybody was like, this is going to be a 500 team, you don't know what they're going to be, and everything like that. Well, they shocked kind of baseball world when they started 17-10 over their first 27 games. What did that do? It gave them an extra couple of wins in that first frame that when we got to the summer and was like, please send help. While they were struggling, they had banked some early wins. Now, teams that can kind of earn an anomaly to this 27 games at a time have been the Yankees and the Astros last year. The Astros, I think, started 10-17, something like that. And then a couple years ago, the Yankees started 13-14. I would also ask you, in the recent history of Major League Baseball in the American League, are the Red Sox in the same conversation where the Astros and the Yankees have been over the last 10 years overall? No. So the goal is 15-12 every 27 games, and if you can get to that, you got a chance. I don't know about this first one. What happened Friday night was embarrassing. What happened yesterday was unfortunate, right? Richie Fitz was rolling. 2-2 game, you felt like this could go any, it could go, well, actually it's a 2-0 game, it can go anywhere. Fitz has the peck issue, and next thing you know, it's a 2-2 game. You're like, damn, this is really unfortunate. But when you start having embarrassing next to unfortunate, you then get to desperate. And what is today, I'm going to say, what does today feel like? You're like, well, Crochet's out there. We're desperate for a win. Yes. Today has a little bit of feel of desperation. KJ, it's only one game in April. You don't think the White Sox will gladly take wins 3-4 of the season? I mean, they're not in the factor of the 27 game factor now. But the Sox, even trying to go 14-13, is going to be a challenge. That's a 7-4 record. Maybe they can do that, but that's where they have to get to now. Because let's say they finish over their next 11 games based on what they're doing, probably somewhere like 14. No, probably more like 12-15. So they go like 5-6. That's kind of the team they are right now. They're like if this team goes like 5-6 over its next 11, folks, they get pretty much an F in the 27 games at a time theory, marking period 1. 617-779-7937. KJ, Sunday morning, WEEI, still to come. Oh, I got to get Vrabel here a little bit. And when you hear him give his rules, it sounds like someone we know. Plus, I don't know if you did this. I kind of made the mistake, but it was a good mistake. I stayed up and watched UFC 314 last night. Are you a UFC guy, David?
Not a whole lot.
I'm not that super much of it, but Patty the Batty made me get up and made me stay up, and I'll get to a little bit of UFC towards the end of the show. That's still to come. My biggest concern with the Red Sox, and everybody's biggest concern with the Red Sox at the start of the season, was Rafael Devers. And there's where you could make the argument. It was just like, hey, you know, it's the start of the season, but part of the issue was, okay, you weren't there for spring training. You're swinging and missing. If you were making contact and it was still outs, you know how those things work out. I think that situation with Devers is over. But what's been running concurrently has been the situation with Tristan Casas. Like, this has been going on since day one of what's happening right now. Like, it's... And if you remember back when Rafael Devers said that, you know, he's here to play third base, that's what he wants to play third base, he wasn't interested in being DH. The first person who spoke up, because they say sometimes the first person who speaks first is the one who has the most concern or wants to get in the issue, was Tristan Casas. Why? Because I believed, and I do believe that it was going, if you remember, there was some talk about potentially moving Casas to Seattle for some frontline pitching. It never came to fruition. The team came out and said, we're not trading Tristan Casas. It was a vote of confidence. However, I also did believe that, you know, if they get Alex Bregman, remember when they negotiated Rafael Devers' deal, they negotiated his deal like he was a first baseman. I was just like, ooh, did they tip their hand? So if you're Cassis, you're like, yeah, Rafael Devers is the third baseman because I'm the first baseman. And I'll be very delicate when I say this because clearly, and this is not to say that, you know, hey, our influence is influence, but it's influence, as we found out earlier this week. I'm going to be careful when I say this because I do believe Tristan Cassis to have a higher than normal level of sensitivity to criticism, but I got to give it to him. Bro, nobody cares about the eccentric if you cannot produce. Nobody cares about laying in the sun. Nobody cares about the painted fingernails if you cannot get the job done. Nobody cares about the eccentric when they need to see the electric. Now, the great thing about Tristan Cassis is at least he's there and we're not trying to figure out if Bobby Dalbec can still play first base. Because the Major League has figured out that Bobby Dalbec cannot play in the Major Leagues. I was thinking, damn, couldn't he even go into Sacramento maybe? Sneak him a fastball, maybe get like hit 20 fastballs far this year and give him a chance?
He's actually on the White Sox right now. I don't think he's on their Major League roster.
Okay, so he's with their AAA affiliate?
I believe so.
Yeah, so I think their AAA affiliate is Charlotte. They used to change them all around, but at one time, the White Sox affiliate was Charlotte. So maybe I go down to Charlotte and be like, where is Bobby Dalbec? I'm kidding. But Cassis was clearly the answer and believed to be the future, and even the projectiles out of what Cassis could do over what you saw as a flash of two seasons ago, and then last season through the injuries, the stories being crafted that Cassis can be that guy. I would never want Cassis to stop being himself. However, I would say display those things after the electric things show up. So if you're going to lay out in the sun, maybe do it behind a wall in the bullpen. If you're going to be flashy with the multicolored fingernails, maybe do it once you're on a streak. Because now we can talk about your eccentricness along with your excitedness. Right? You almost kind of felt pretty good for Casas's psyche when Vlad Guerrero signed the huge deal with Toronto. It almost felt like, okay, if that was what was in your head, like, hey, you know, they Vladdy and da-da-da, and you want to cut it, yeah. You could put that out of your mind. Put it out of your mind. The franchise believes in you. But now, what we're seeing, at least what I'm seeing as a person who played baseball at a sandlot level, is, brother, they know that you're going to look at a good pitch and chase a bad one. It's okay to swing on a zero count. It's okay. I cannot compare my life to Casas's life because clearly Casas does that for a profession. I do this for a profession. But anybody who's played ball at some accelerated level, and I will say that mine was an accelerated level. It just wasn't Major League. I decided to go to college. I didn't know I was being looked at. You know, at one time, I don't know if you know this, David. I don't know if it's still the same rule. But if you're being prospected by teams, they cannot let you know unless you declare that you're no longer playing, especially when you're in amateur status, like when you're in high school. So I had a couple of Major League teams scout me when I was in high school. I stopped playing because, you know, you're in high school, you'd be like, but baby, you're going to leave me and I don't want you to leave. But baby, this glove can take us far. But they want you to do steroids and hit home runs and you're doubles and gap hitter. So you're right, baby. No baseball, no girl. But there was this one guy named Mike Keenan who knew that I was always worried about the slider that would come into my feet. And I feel like when I see Cassis up there, it's like, damn, it's like Mike Keenan pitching to me. They know your weakness and it clearly shows. With Rafi, when they were just throwing him fastballs, and we've seen that before, they're like, yeah, this is a conditioning situation with this guy. You're not going to get away with it all season, but there is sometimes during either the beginning of the season like this year or a portion of the season, as you saw a couple years ago, where I think at one point they were like throwing like 15 straight fastballs to Devers. Like, yeah, good luck catching up, bro. You got more oomph in your dip and your chew in your cheek than you do in your bat. But with Cassis, and this is what I've tried to tell people about, don't try and see Cassis as a power hitter. If I was inside of his head and through the training that I've come through over the years, he might envision himself as a three hitter. And your greatest three hitters are not supposed to be launching balls out of the park. They're supposed to be driving guys off of the base paths, a hard shot to the gaps, because I was a three hitter, hard shots to the gap drive into. But when you start tinkering, because now you almost have to ask yourself is, and I was saying this at the beginning of the season, some of my old notes, David, had me dropping flipping Cassis and Abreu in the lineup. And I was talking about that after about four games. Like, maybe Abreu should be that five hitter, because historically it used to be like, okay, if the power hitter struck out, you know, like your big swing and miss guys, like think Mo Vaughn or Don Baylor, you would have a five guy that might still be able to address who was a better contact guy but can give you some power. That's where I think the team sees Tristan Cassis. And fair enough, right? Because you're like, this guy's got power and he's got better than average contact for a big guy. Maybe he's our five guy. But if he sees himself as a three guy, right? Because usually five guys are kind of like, man, there's a fastball coming. I'm swinging. I don't care if it's the first pitch. If it's the second pitch, oh, well, it's 0-2. I dare him to throw it again. A lot of it is in Cassis' mind right now. And this is what teams do. This is what film is for. This is what study is. This is what they're seeing. And what they're seeing is there hasn't been any real adjustments on what's weak for you. So for the Red Sox, 27 games at a time, remember that. You can get some good gospel here from KJ Carson on Sunday mornings, where they've got to go 8-3 just to be able to get themselves on a first marker track of getting to 90 wins, because it's going to take 90 wins. And even though Baltimore is kind of struggling right now, I didn't factor in that, you know, that Toronto would be in the mix again suddenly. And who knows, that may not be a long-lasting thing. But you do know that you're going to be three winners in the division, and then you're going to have to figure out which wild card you are. I say the goal is 98, and no one wants to talk this 81-game stuff. That's not fun. You know, you've probably heard the term. Every team in Major League Baseball is going to lose 60 games. Every team is going to win 60 games. Baseball really comes down to about 42 games. Huh, see 42? 42 games is what really baseball comes down to. And if you're one of those teams that goes 500 over those 42 games, you're a 500 team. So this is why the Red Sox need to be beating up on teams like the White Sox. You know that Toronto's immediately in your division. You should be giving them a better battle than what you've given. Garrett Crochet should not be on his way to 3,500 pitches. And now you're like, we need him back in there. You're like, hey, you do know that this guy is recovering, right? Like, you would want him to be the horse, but, you know, like, you want him to do Zach Galen numbers from a couple of years ago, like 3,200 pitches? Run support. It's been poor. But it is only April. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. All right, we'll get to Vrabel and his rules. That's next. But right now it's time to trend with David Azar.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
KJWEEI, good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. That is also the text line. We will get to your calls and texts shortly. That was Mike Vrabel really giving the overarching theme in the now infamous video of Vrabel's rules. And I'll break them down here for you shortly, and also still coming about 15, 20 minutes. Boy, it was really good to see an ish-talking UFC fighter get choked out so bad last night that he completely blacked out. Like a lot, it was fast. UFC 314 last night was interesting. That's coming in about 20 minutes. Okay, so here's my take on the Vrabel situation. And then when I finish going through the rules, I've got to get to the overarching theme that, unfortunately for some, but truthfully for this entire situation, really is a Belichick-Kraft situation in the making all over again, but with the attempt at a different result. Okay, so play rule one of Vrabel, of Vrabel's rules.
One is to respect the team. Okay, respect the football team and the people that are here.
I think that's absolutely true. I think what you had somewhere last year were either between the reports, or even if you look at how players complained about the quality of the plane and there was no Wi-Fi on it. Now, from a leadership perspective, I would say, well, how much Wi-Fi do you need to complain about when you've only had four damn wins? Maybe you don't need Wi-Fi on the plane, and maybe you just need to have a hard-driven laptop where you can look at plays on the way to the games. Who cares about that? So maybe, maybe Vrabel has been able to tap into or receive intel that some people, or there was a pervasive environment on the team where it was more about what football can do for you versus what you should be doing for the football team. Let me say that again. Perhaps there is a vibe of players where they're more impressed of what football can do for them than what they can do for the football team. So Vrabel's absolutely right. I think that's the first thing that you have to preach to them as their leader. We are one unit. We are one mind. We're one band. No, but the idea is, while we're made up of multiple talented various individuals, we are one organism. And if you can't get on board with that, we don't want to have to use our energies to rein people back in. Nobody, you're not a 12 win team. You 12 win team? Okay, someone may scoot in a little bit late. But you know what? That it might be a receiver who's number three behind Jerry Rice in the league. He's earned some cash. Nobody's earned any real cachet on this team. Nobody's a superstar. Nobody's really an all-pro except for the punter or the kicker. All right, let's get to Vrabel rule number two.
Okay, the second one is, okay, I'd like you to have, when we're in a meeting, okay, I know what the style may be, just wear, pull your hood down in a meeting. That's all I ask, okay? I just ask that when we're in a meeting, okay, that we just pull our hoods down and we go from there.
Okay, I've detected something in Vrabel's voice pattern that reminds me of something. I can't put my mind around it. Oh boy, the hoodies. Now we're getting into cultural appropriation. Now you at home might say, well, hey, you know, I couldn't be in a meeting wearing my hood over my head. I couldn't. Your job is different. You probably have to wear something completely different, right? I mean, because you're going to complain about the hood. Will you complain about the flip-flops that they came in to work in? Because a lot of these guys do not come in dressed to the nines. They don't even come in dressed to the threes. And that's the square root. And three is that's the square root of three. So they don't come in dressed up already. The question is, do you have a cultural divide line that's still kind of Harry Hardass from up top, but not understanding down low? Like, if you're concentrating on someone having on their hood, does it mean they're listening less? I mean, if you make the argument, like if he said, hey, pull the hoods down so that way you can clearly hear everything I'm saying, you've got a reason to, now you've given me a great reason to pull down my hood. But if you're just telling me to pull down the hood and you say you know it's the style, you've stepped into a cultural pile of poo-poo. And that right there, okay, is not, it, that's not a good move. Rule three.
Be on time. Okay, we just talked about time. Be on time. And if I can't be on time, Christian, what's the easiest thing to do? You would just call. Right, that's called communicate. Okay? All you got to do is say, hey, something came up. Okay, I'm going to be a little bit late. Now, after about four or five times, that starts wearing off. Okay, this is just a once in a while. All it is a respect thing. Okay, and the cell phones. Okay, we all got cell phones. Okay, most of you have more than one, as a matter of fact. Just leave the cell phone in your bag.
Okay, that's who he reminds me of. You know, David, play who, I know who Vrabel sounds like. Here it is.
Now who is that? That is not appropriate behavior, okay?
Don't let it happen again, Mr. Mackey, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Vrabel is Mr. Handy, okay? The cell phones, okay? The cell phones. Can you tell people about being late? Let me start with being late, and then we'll get to the cell phone. Being late, totally get that, right? Tom Coughlin wrote a wonderful book, and it's something that I've applied to myself, so ignore what I told you in the first break. But Tom Coughlin says, look, if things are supposed to start at 9 o'clock and you get there at 9 o'clock, you're not mentally ready to do the task right away. And what he talked about when he was coaching was that, hey, he would be in the office 3-4 hours before everything was supposed to kick off for everybody, right? If you think in any football organization, there are people who get in there at 9, but then there are the people who are the operations at the base level of it who might be there all night. They got a shower in their office. They've got a whole closet of clothes and a dresser drawer and stuff like toothbrush and everything. Different than the person who works in the ticket office, right? Who, you know, helps coordinate marketing. They get to come in at 9. But Coughlin said, if I'm there a couple hours before everything kicks off, I can go ahead and handle tasks ahead of time. So that way, when the 9 o'clock, if you will, fire starts, there are a couple of things I'm able to do, and I'm able to somehow recoup that time during the day when nobody expects it. So if I'm Vrabel, and if I'm talking about the hoods, okay. I'm telling my guys, I don't need you to be on time. I need you to be before time. Because if you're rebuilding this culture, you can't tell them on time and believe that they need to pull their hoods down and expect them to be there at 8:50. I need you here at 8:50. If we're kicking it off at 9, I need you here at 8:50. But it starts at 9. I need your mind ready to go. I need you to be ready to push the button on everything we're about to do at 9. So be here at 8:50. Why? Because then between 8:50 and 9 and 8:59:59, I can give a little bit of allowance of being late. Isn't that genius? Is that not genius, David? Tell them they need to be there 15 minutes before. That's the time you need to be there. But in your mind, you're saying, hey, I can now determine who has a late issue before they're actually late. Because if you're starting off at the 0-0 mark and people are walking in, man, there are going to be minutes to recover, or the wrong person walk in and miss key information. If that is a concern, oh, Vrabel, don't tell them to be on time, be before time. And I tend to not be Harry Hardass. And then the part with the cell phones. Now, if this is genius, if he said, right, Christian, because you would say, is it Barmore or Gonzalez he's talking to? Because I don't know about you. I don't like my name being used as an example. Now, some leaders will tell you they will use an example of a person who doesn't do this to reassess them as a leader. But when you're giving the Harry Hardass speech of the rules, here are the rules. You don't want to hear your name specifically called out, because I heard no names in rules 1 and 2. But I heard it there in 3. And I'm only going to do 3 rules. I'm not going to go through the whole 2 minutes of tape. Tell me the 3 important things I need to know. And what is the overview? And the rest can go in an email. Of course, you can't say it to the coach. But I think everything that Vrabel is doing and stating, and it's getting out there, and kind of the Harry Hardo that's being reestablished, indirectly kind of points to the book that Belichick has coming out. Dan Shaughnessy at the Boston Globe, I have to give him credit because he might be the only person who got the book, mentioned that, you know, hey, look, Robert Kraft's name isn't in here. And the Patriot Way was something that was created by somebody else. There was no such thing as the Patriot Way. So now they got to create it. They got to create it now. And when I get to Belichick in these excerpts from his book, that I think will be pretty interesting. I think Kraft realizes, and this is why you hear these rules being released by Vrabel, because think about it, in the past, when would you hear any type of big speech of Belichick going on for 5 minutes in front of his team, fully released? That's what they call hard knocks, and the team has never been on there. So now suddenly there's this access that's being made available, right? Because clearly this was not recorded on some player's phone. Would you not agree, David Azar?
Yeah, no, definitely.
This is not a player's phone, because that player is probably still doing laps around the facility if it was. So in other words, management was rolling tape on all of this.
Oh yeah, they wanted this out there.
And I asked the question because I tied this to Belichick saying, there is no such thing as the Patriot Way. That's just something somebody said. They ran with it, put it in a bottle, and sold it. That, hey, great leaders try to build cultures, and not so great leaders try to make a buck off of them. I think this is what we're seeing. Let me say that again, because it is Sunday. You are getting a bit of a sermon. There's a saying that great leaders build cultures, and the not so great ones try and make a buck off of them. Could this be what we're really seeing, where kind of Kraft is trying to put the genie back in the bottle? I need to build a culture, but I got to broadcast it. What do you accomplish for the mission of the team by saying, yeah, no hoodies? Every kid wears a hoodie. Now, if you tell them specifically, hey, guys, I need your hoods down when we're having our meetings, because sometimes I'll talk fast and I've got 60 guys that've got to hear it. And let's just call it what it is. If somebody misses something that I've said and your ears are covered, I don't want to have to go back through the process. That's leadership. But if you say, I know it's the culture. Ah, damn, now he's on the way I dress. This fool ain't up in here in a suit. So to this whole thing about the marketing tool, it's fascinating, because now I've got to get into what is potentially in this book, the overarching theme. I wonder now if Robert Kraft chose Brady over Belichick's decision to want to keep Jimmy G, because Tom was a marketing statement. Keep in mind, remember, Brady was so damn big that if you had no idea of the sport of football, you could be in a third world country and hold up a picture and they would go, Tom Brady, football, American. Damn. Tom Brady has been the greatest marketing piece the NFL has ever seen, because people who don't know a lick about football, who could care less about a game, knew about Tom Brady. And that's what Kraft wanted to hold on to, the marketing piece. Remember, when Kraft let Belichick go, he did say, you know, Bill's overseeing of the asset. That's a financial term. It's not a football term. Asset? Even if you go back for those who are of age and remember, Bledsoe was an attempt at marketability. The strong jaw, the little dimple, $100 million man. But by that time, Belichick was coming to establish culture. The Patriots were a very good team on paper, but weren't very good. So when Bell goes to Kraft and says, hey, you know, I'm going to make the change to the 6th round guy over here. One, they probably said, well, he's a handsome guy too. But two, the marketability wasn't working out with the $100 million quarterback. They were ready to 86 Brady for Jimmy G because of the culture. And Kraft said, no, not because of my marketing. No, bro. And so now when I hear Vrabel doing these three rules, we all know that the Krafts have ultimate and supreme oversight, overlordian, of this team. Okay. But when you have to start saying, you know, hey, pull your hoods down, the cell phones, like, come on, just leave it in your bag. I didn't even play the ones like, hey, and when you're in the weight room, you know, don't be, you know, answering your phone. You know, oh my gosh. I know there's some guys who are in the room. They're like, What is this? Now here's the crazy. Some fans love this. Why? Because they like to see a little bit of demasculating of these overpaid guys. Some people like seeing that. Yeah, put him in his place. He makes too much money anyway. I would say, are you willing to take on their tax burden? Could you imagine getting a check every 2 weeks? Not for the net, but damn, just what you lost in gross and all those taxes. They probably got 7 different itemized taxations there when they get their check. They're probably like, damn, can we stop playing games in New York State, having to pay a city tax? You know, thank God the Jets play New Jersey, you know. save a little money. But at some point, Robert Kraft has to realize that there's no marketability with this team anymore. The marketing is dead. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you might try and push Drake May, and maybe that's why you don't have Joe Milton here anymore, because that would put a confusing statement to the marketing. But, yeah. Good luck, Vrabel. Good luck. All right, we wrap up the show next here, WEEI. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
We're back. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I just sneezed before I came on the air and I was thinking, the ragweed, and then you play this, and that's a different type of rag right there. KJ WEEI. Let it rock a little bit, David. Rastaman vibrations. Hey, positive. Positive. KJ's positive. Thank you so much. I guess I have to come up with a name for this one-hour extravaganza. Maybe do like a final Sunday word, like with a gospel organ as I get out of here before we go into Sunday skate. Though I feel for those guys, the Bruins have turned Sunday skate into pretty much Sunday melted pond. I'm sorry. That was good. That was good Bruins humor, right? But look, yeah, that's coming up at 9 o'clock. You missed any of the show, the Audacy app is free. AUDACY, type in WEEI, and you hear KJ that guy, if you missed any of it. Of course, you also use your Alexa device. Say, hey, Alexa, play WEEI Boston Sports Radio. No rhyme there. No rhyme. I talked about Bill Belichick's book. It's called The Art of Winning. And the excerpts from there, I got to give courtesy where it's due. This is what doesn't happen on social media. People just steal-ish. But Dan Shaughnessy mentions in the article that he got an advanced copy and mentions that Robert Kraft's name is not in there at all. Talk about a Parcells disciple, right? So probably in 2060 is when Belichick will be in the Ring of Fame. Just kidding. Now the hologram of Bill Belichick, you know. I think Belichick, you know what? The livelihood that Belichick's living right now, he might live to 100. I think he might get to 100. I could clearly see another 30 years for Bill. I don't think it should take another 30 years before. But then again, after the way you got hijacked in the dynasty while you were still an employee, oh my gosh, talking about over a barrel. Yeah, speaking of Shaughnessy, if you haven't seen Celtic City, look, call me slow catching up to things. There are a lot of things I have to watch, including a child. But what's very fascinating is sometimes you hear me talk a lot about like why the NBA is messing up so many things about not putting Jason Tatum at the front and foremost of this is the face of the NBA. He's the current heavyweight champion, if you will, and is contending for another title again this year. Is... okay, without getting into the woods, but like if you have like Max, but you get it with ads, Celtic City has had certain advertisers say, okay, you're going to watch this ad free. Just watch these, you know, this little mini commercial, and then you'll be able to see the episode with no interruptions. I don't ball like that where I've got ad free already. So I've got to watch commercials. But Jason Tatum and his mother are in a commercial together. And it's a wonderful commercial. And it tells me that like Jason Tatum is going to probably end up being one of these next billionaires because he's already thinking ahead. And I was like, there he is with his mom. He's clearly, you could see how he's a dad without having his child in the commercial. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Social media don't want to hear that. A guy who's there with his child, his mother's clearly present. He has family in his mix. No, they want to hear about who Zion Williams smashed in IG again. And Zion Williams doesn't play. And if the NBA tries to go down the route of like, well, this is what the audience, you need to ride the person who's playing, I don't know, for a team that I don't know has the most championships of all time. I mean, my goodness, here's what's crazy about Jason Tatum. You almost forget that the guy played for Duke. Shouldn't that be like a precursor to walking me? Because they're ready to walk Cooper Flagg into every piece of media marketing and because he went to Duke. I thought Duke did something for you. Or it doesn't apply to everybody. I get that off the chest. I'm not finished watching it, but it's very true. One, I thought it was fascinating about how JoJo White grew up in the house next to Jason Tatum's grandmother. And they're both from St. Louis. It's just like, oh, it doesn't get better than this. Oh, hats off to Bill Simmons on this one. And I'm kind of Bill Simmons guy. But, oh, yeah, on this one. Like, bro, you're invited to a cookout on this one. That's good stuff. So, Celtic City, yeah. I think I'm going to bypass spending time with the family today since, I mean, why? I'm not even going to watch that Celtics-Hornets game. For what? I go watch Celtic City and all the different stuff. My man Cedric Maxwell, that's a family friend. So this good stuff there. UFC 314 last night was pretty good. And I'm not really a UFC guy, but because Paddy Pimblett is a star. I mean, this is... like, he is the guy you love to hate. There's no, nobody thinks he's okay. And keep in mind, we're talking about a guy who's like probably now ranked somewhere in the mid tens. Lower numbers, maybe like 7-8 now after last night's victory. But man, he could be what Hulk Hogan was to professional wrestling when I grew up. I could see that. Like the guy you think like everybody's going to beat him up. He's got the blonde hair. He's always talking smack. He doesn't lose when you think he's going to lose. I mean, this dude had his opponent leaking. That shows you how much I watch UFC. I can't remember the guy. I think his last name. I forgot the guy. But the best fight, though, was the guy who got on, Campbell is his last, I think his name's Tyler Campbell, who's been known to be on social media running his mouth about misogyny, dips into the racism a bit as well, and got choked the F out last night so bad that his neck was turning one way and the hold was going the other way. And then once he tapped out, he immediately blacked out. I was like, gold! Right in front of his hero in the front row. So it's all interesting. So LeBron's got a Ken doll. Have you seen this, David?
LeBron James. No, I haven't seen that.
LeBron James has a Ken doll. And while I respect LeBron in different factions, you know, like, okay, what you do for your kids in Akron, you're going into ownership. But come on, a Ken doll? Do you really believe parents are going to substitute the Ken doll for the LeBron doll in living in Barbie's playhouse and driving Barbie's car? Are you kidding? You can start the music now because I'm ready to go out on that, David. Because let me tell you right now, there's no way in God's green earth that parents are going to be like, you know what? I'm going to practice some of the stuff I'm going to preach. I'm going to get my kid the LeBron Ken doll and the standard Barbie doll, and they're going to play house inside of the Barbie playhouse. Oh, my mind is sick, but it's true. So have a great Sunday. Remember, Sunday skate next. I guess really the conversation leads to who do you want this early in the draft now that there's no playoffs to talk about? That's next. Thank you so much for being here on WEEI. I'll talk to you again next Sunday. See ya!
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.